So our reading today is from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, which you can easily find online if you Google it. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you joining us here at Woodstock Road Baptist Church. Welcome if you're visiting, if you've just come across the link. Warm welcome to regulars. Really looking forward to the time when we can see each other again. Just one or two things to mention. Do join us after the service, about a quarter of an hour or so afterwards. We'll have a virtual coffee on Zoom, and if you want the link for that, if you don't know the details or the details of anything coming up, do get in touch with me at andy@wrbc.org.uk. And then later in the week, we've got our growth groups meeting, our youth group meeting on Friday night, and various daily prayer meetings as well. So if you want more information about how to connect with us as a church, please do get in touch with me, andy@wrbc.org.uk. Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you spoke these words. And though you spoke them so many years ago, they feel so relevant to us today. So please, Lord, help us to feel the force of them, we ask, for your name's sake. Amen. Well, people had their plans. They thought they knew how the year would turn out. They had an exciting holiday in store. Exams to prepare for, or maybe it was even a wedding. And none of them took place. All those plans were swept away. Why? Because Jesus came back. Jesus returned. This pandemic is changing our attitude to any number of ways in which we think. But one of the ways in which it should change us is this. It should make us more ready for Jesus' return. It should make us more ready for the time in which Jesus comes back. You see, when Jesus lived on earth, he spoke a lot about the fact that he would go away, but one day he would return. You heard it actually in the passage that Alicia just read. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Again and again, Jesus talks about the way in which he will return. And in another passage, he describes big global events, earthquakes, wars, famines, maybe you could add pandemic. He describes such events as labor pains. Now, of course, the labor pain isn't the birth itself. And actually, this pandemic isn't Jesus' return. But it is a reminder, a pain, as it were, that's a reminder that it's on the way. It's coming. The birth will happen, or in the thing to which it's referring, Jesus will come back. The events that we're living through at the moment should be a reminder to us that Jesus will return. And I think for me, probably it has functioned that way, actually. Over the years, I've taught about Jesus' return. And the argument that I've used for those who are skeptical has been this. Jesus said that he would die and rise again. And all the evidence suggests that that's true. He did die and rise again. And so when he then says, I'm also going to come back, I'm inclined to believe him, that he's speaking the truth. And if you're looking into this, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet. That's actually one argument as to why you should take the return of Jesus seriously. The one who said he would die and rise again, and he did, also said he will come back. But every time I've used that argument, there's just been that niggling doubt in the back of my mind. Yes, but to be honest, life just goes along smoothly, doesn't it? All my experience has been you plan something and it happens. Is it really going to be interrupted dramatically one day? Well, probably for the first time in my lifetime, I've had the experience of life being brought to a juddering halt. And that has impacted my thinking in this way. If it is possible for a tiny microbe to bring the world to a halt, well, how easy is it for Jesus, the Son of God, to bring this world to a halt? And one day he will. One day it will be like I said in the introduction, people would start the year with plans for weddings and exams and holidays, and one day it will grind to a juddering halt because Jesus has returned. You see, there will come a day when the events of 2020 will feel totally insignificant with the transformation that will take place when Jesus keeps his promise and he returns. And so we need to think that through. Yeah, maybe that if we're Christians, the thought of Jesus returning one day has just dropped off our radar. And this pandemic and this passage is a reminder to get it at the forefront of our minds again. Or it might be if we're looking into Christianity, maybe the idea that Jesus will return has never entered our thinking. And we're going to see this morning why it's vital that we consider the impact of it on our lives. Because Jesus says he will return, and there is something we need to do. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. Jesus starts with this story. And if you can imagine, we're kind of in Downton Abbey world where you have kind of masters and servants. And in this instance, the master has gone away for a wedding. Now, I don't know whether you remember weddings. It used to be the case that you were allowed to get married. And then you'd have two people and they get together and you'd have a kind of ceremony and then you'd have a reception. It's a concept that used to exist. And in this instance, you have a wedding reception that is going on for an indeterminate period. And so, I don't know, the barn dance won't end. There are good things with lockdown, aren't there? We're not allowed to barn dance for the foreseeable future. But anyway, the barn dance wouldn't end. The disco kept going. Maybe the speeches lasted forever. And this wedding reception goes on and on and on. The couple will never leave. And there you have the servants. And they're back at home. And they've got a responsibility. Instead of going off to sleep, they're to remain dressed, so that when the master finally gets back from this wedding reception, even if it's the middle of the night or the morning, they're ready to serve him. And that's the call, isn't it, that Jesus makes at the start of the passage. He says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Don't sleep. Keep ready to serve me. Because you notice there's a remarkable promise. Verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he'll dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. And you can imagine the scene, can't you? This master gets back in the middle of the night or early morning, and he delights to see these servants still waiting up, still ready to welcome him and serve him. And he'll say to them, I'm so pleased at your service. Tell you what, why don't you sit down and I will get you food. I'll get you supper. It's a glorious image. It's a great promise for these servants who wait and keep themselves ready, even though the master's return is delayed. And then you get another image that Jesus uses, verse 39. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. And there's a slight change of image. Here it's the master who experiences the shock of a thief arriving. And of course, whenever a thief comes, it's happened to me twice, it's always unexpected. You get back, you think, wow, where's that stuff gone? I didn't expect that to happen. Yeah, that's the nature of a thief. It's a shock. It's slightly different if you expected a thief. You know, if they wrote to me, dear Mr. Robinson, I'm planning to pop round on the 23rd at midnight to break into your house. Yeah, if that happened, well, you're there waiting with the policeman to arrest them. No, no, you don't expect a thief. It's a shock. And Jesus is essentially saying two things here about his return. It will be delayed. It won't happen quite at the speed we think. It will be sort of long hours before he comes. And we've experienced that, haven't we? Yeah, it's 2,000 years since Jesus said these words. His coming is delayed. As we'll see, it's delayed for a reason. It's delayed in order to give people time to be reconciled to him. But it is delayed. And yet at some point, that delay will end and the coming will be unexpected. It will be a shock, just as the events of this year have proved that there'll be people saying, good grief, I never expected this to happen. His coming is delayed and when it comes, it will be a shock. And that means it is vital that we are ready. Vital that we're ready for Jesus' return. I think the government have had a difficult job in dealing with this pandemic, so I don't want to be overly critical. But I think it's now commonly accepted that as a nation, we weren't ready for this. We didn't have the level of testing required. We didn't have the PPE equipment and so on. We weren't ready. And tragically, almost certainly, lives have been lost as a result. And Jesus is saying, don't let that be you when it comes to my return. Make sure you're ready. You also must be ready, Jesus says, verse 40, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Here's the question for us. If 2020 turns out to be the year, not just of the pandemic, but also of the Lord's return, will you be ready? Will you be able to say to him, Lord Jesus, I've been waiting, I've been working towards this day, I'm ready? Or will you end up saying, oh, no, I wasn't ready for this. There's so much of which I'm ashamed. I'm not living for you, Lord Jesus. And it might be this is just the wake-up call that we need to say, I should be getting ready for Jesus to come back. But that leads to a second question. What does it mean to be ready? You know, how do you get ready for Jesus' return? And here's the second thing. We get ready for Jesus' return, secondly, by doing God's will. Do God's will. Peter has been listening to all of this, and he asks an interesting question. Lord, are you telling this parable to us or for everyone? In other words, Peter is saying, who needs to listen to this? I mean, do we need to listen to this, Jesus? I mean, we're your disciples. Are we going to be okay? Or is it just for us? Is it for everyone? Who needs to listen to this? Well, Jesus answers this question by returning, if you like, to our Downton Abbey world. And he introduces a new character. He introduces the character of the manager. Maybe you could call them the chief butler. And the role of the manager is to look after the other servants. Verse 42, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. And Jesus says, there are those who have the particular responsibility of looking after the other servants, making sure they're given the food at the right time, that they're well fed. And it will be good if they're getting on with the job when Jesus returns. Because by contrast, consider verse 45. Suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. Then he says, if the master returns and finds the manager behaving like that, instead of being entrusted with possessions, which is the good option, no, instead this manager will be cut to pieces, verse 46, and assigned a place with the unbelievers. Now, it seems to me that Jesus is giving quite a specific warning to Peter and the other disciples. They are going to be leaders of God's people. They are, if you like, going to fulfill this manager role. And he's saying to Peter, you do need to listen to this. You need to take your responsibility that I'm going to give you seriously. Because if you do it faithfully, you'll be rewarded. But if you use your position of authority to exploit people and push them down and you aren't faithful, well, it will kind of indicate to me that you're not really a believer in me at all. And there'll be punishment to come. There is a serious warning here. Tragically, as you look through the history of the church, there are leaders who use their role, instead of caring for people, they exploit them, abuse them, tragically, in some cases, physically and sexually. And there is a warning here. Jesus takes such things very seriously. It matters that we do his will and we look after each other rather than abusing and exploiting each other. But Jesus then broadens out the point, if you like. See what he says in verse 47. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserve punishment will be beaten with few blows. And the point Jesus is making is this. With knowledge comes particular responsibility. Those disciples and us, who've been given the privilege of being taught what the Lord wants, we have a particular responsibility to put that into practice. Jesus is saying, for those who don't really know him, those who've perhaps never heard the Bible very much, actually the day when he returns won't be easy, but it will be far worse for those who've heard Jesus' teaching and decided to do nothing about it. If I can put it to you, actually even listening to this stream gives you a certain responsibility to hear what Jesus wants and to put it into practice. And so Jesus is saying, here is how we get ready. We get ready by looking after other servants of God, and we get ready by hearing the Master's will and doing it, putting it into practice. What we hear in the Bible, we seek to live out, and we seek to do it. That's how we get ready for Jesus' return. In some ways, it isn't radical and extravagant. It is simply that we care for people, and we seek to do what Jesus wants. That's how we get ready for his return. And can I say, in many ways, I'm hugely encouraged. You know, as I hear what's been going on, even in the last few weeks, it has featured different people calling each other to check that they're doing okay, joining in prayer for one another, seeking even in difficult circumstances to live for Jesus. And if that's the case, there are wonderful promises attached. Do you see the promise? I'll put him in charge of many possessions. Or do you remember that promise from the first section? Come, sit down. Let me serve you a great banquet. Isn't that an amazing promise? A great banquet, and Jesus saying, sit down whilst I serve you. Oh, there are massive promises for those who live for Jesus, who get ready for his return by doing his will. And well, honestly, we can say, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Keep going, because boy, will it be worth it. But it might just be for some of us, this does represent just a little bit of a wake-up call. If honestly we were saying, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not really ready for Jesus to come back. If there's an area of life where we know his will, but we're deliberately not doing it, Jesus is saying, wake up. Get yourself ready to serve me. Get back to saying, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. It may be for some of us who are Christians, there's just business to do with the Lord this afternoon. To say, here's an area of life where I need to get myself sorted. I need to make myself ready so that when Jesus comes, I won't be ashamed. Jesus says to us, get ready. You've been given knowledge that gives you responsibility. Make sure you live out the Lord's will. Well, in a moment or two, we're just going to look at the end of the passage. And there we're going to see the way in which what Jesus says is relevant for absolutely everybody. So we've seen that Jesus is telling us, get ready, because I am coming back. And lastly, the message we're going to see is this. It is urgent. It is urgent. Jesus is a fascinating character. Phil mentioned this at the beginning of the service. He's remarkable for his gentleness, his kindness, his love to the outcast and so on. But actually part of his kindness is that he is willing to speak directly when it is for our good. And this is one of those passages where he will speak directly. Perhaps you're shocked by some of the language, where he'll talk about fire, prison, cut to pieces and so on. You might have the question in your mind, why is somebody so kind using such dreadful images? I think it can only be the case because they're real. He's speaking about something real. And actually, it's his kindness that means he wants to warn us of them. And in three little cameo pieces, three little short pieces, Jesus tells people how serious this is, how much it matters. So in the first little section, Jesus talks about the way in which these events will bring division to people. Do you notice verse 50? Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I'll tell you, but division. And Jesus is saying that when he returns, there will be a division that takes place. There will be those who are ready, those who are trusting him and living for him. And there are those who won't be doing that. They'll have lived in God's world and just ignored God. And tragically, they will then face the consequence of that. And in many ways, I wish I didn't have to say this next bit. But Jesus says that division will even run through families. He says there will be certain family members who will be ready and other family members who won't. I don't know what position you're in as you listen to this. You might not call yourself a Christian, and yet you're watching this, perhaps because you're in a household with Christians. And I'm so grateful for you giving the time to listen to this. But it is also a call for you to make sure that you're going to be ready. Because actually just being associated with a Christian won't be enough. It matters how we individually respond to Jesus to make sure we're ready when that shock comes and he arrives. There will be division. And then the second little piece is actually to do with the weather. And Jesus points out to the crowd at the time that they were used to reading the signs of the weather and acting accordingly. You know, it used to be the old sayings, didn't it? Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. You know, there's good weather coming on the way. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. You know, get yourself ready. There's a storm coming. Almost certainly for us, you know, you see it, don't you? You see the sort of black clouds heading towards you. And you think, I either need the umbrella or I need to get inside quickly. We know how to read the weather. And Jesus says to them, you know how you can read the weather, but how is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And Jesus was saying to the crowd, you know, they'd seen him do great miracles and so on. And yet they didn't follow through and sort out the consequence of that. They didn't act accordingly. And I think he would say to us today, you're living through a pandemic when life has been stopped. Can you follow the logic? Can you hear the wake-up call to get your life sorted? To begin to ask the question, what should I be living for? Jesus says, follow the logic of the time. And again, get ready. Or the third little piece is to do with justice. You see, in those days, it used to be the case that if you're in debt to somebody, that person could take you off to the magistrate and the magistrate would send you into prison. He would say, you're in debt, off you go into prison. You can only get out once you've paid every last penny. And so Jesus is saying, if you're in debt to somebody, don't wait until you're actually before the magistrate. Try and cut a deal before it's too late. Verse 58, as you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge. In other words, before judgment day, you need to cut a deal. Say, I'll pay you this much on this date, that much on the next date. Try and cut a deal before you end up being thrown into prison. And the image Jesus is using is this. Make sure you sort out your standing before God before the day when you will appear before him. Sort it out before it's too late. It's urgent. Do business now, because remember, you don't know the day when he's coming back. Sort it out now, Jesus says. And so, do you see the cameos? Be warned, there will be a division, even amongst families. Follow the logic of the time and get ready. Don't wait till it's too late. Sort it out with the judge now. Now, I don't know how you react to this. It might be for some of us that we're just thinking, I just really don't like this. You know, I don't like Jesus using this sort of language. It actually puts me off him, if anything. Now, as I already said, it is the case that he's saying this in kindness. He wants to warn us before it's too late. He's also been kind in delaying it. The reason he's not come back yet is to give people time to get ready. But actually, there's something else in this passage, which is why I want to follow Jesus. It's there in verse 50. I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I'm under until it's completed. The amazing thing about Jesus is this. It's not just that he talks about the fire of God's judgment coming down on those who've not lived for him. He doesn't just talk about it. He actually experiences it himself. He goes through this baptism. If you like, he puts himself under the fire of God's judgment. That's what happens when Jesus dies on the cross. He ends up crying out as he dies in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for that moment, he's experiencing God's judgment. It is descending on him. And the reason he faces God's judgment is that we might not have to do so on the day that he returns. He experienced judgment so that if we say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you experienced the judgment that I deserved for ignoring God whilst I lived in his world. If we say that, that's how we can be reconciled to the judge. That's how the debt can be paid before it's too late. You might be sitting there thinking, there's no way I can meet Jesus when he returns because I've done this and I've done that and there's all this record of wrong in my past. Here's the good news. Because Jesus went through that fire, that baptism for you, you can say to him, even today, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done. I want to trust that you died in my place. You paid my price. And as we do that, we are reconciled to God and we will be perfectly ready for the day when Jesus comes back, whenever that is. My only plea is this, don't delay. Don't wait, because the Son of Man will return on an unexpected date. It is urgent. It does matter. And so it might be for some of us, today is the day when we've got business to do with God. It might be we wouldn't call ourselves a Christian, and to be honest, we've never really thought that Jesus could come back at any moment. Today is the day when you need to be reconciled to God, when you need to put your trust in Jesus. And if you've got any questions about that, please do get in touch with us. I'd love to chat to you. It might be that you're a Christian and you've just become a bit relaxed and a bit lazy. And this is the day to say, I want to get back and serve again. I want to live for Jesus so that I'm ready on the day he comes back. 2020 has been totally unexpected. None of us expected it to turn out like this. The year when Jesus comes back will be even more unexpected. But we've got the chance to be ready for it. Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet. It may be that you feel like you've got some business to do with God. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for myself. And I want to pray for everybody who is currently watching this. That each of us would be ready, that each of us, even today, would take the action we need to do to be ready for that day we pray. For your name's sake, amen.